Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Who was that guy? Never heard that voice before. Oh, that's Crame Dog. What's up, Kramer? Great job filling in today. Pete Sweeney across the glass.
Hello.
Brandon Kylie in the house. I am merely the sports machine, Sean Levine, and you for the final hour right here on The Drive. 610 Sports Radio and all over the world. On the radio.com app. Coming up in about 45 minutes, we will once again step inside the mind of the machine. But right now, Kramer, take it away with the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Turn my mic on there for a second. So for hit number one, Barkut talked today about how he's in favor of the 17-game schedule.
I do think it's something that the league needs to seriously consider. I think reducing the preseason is something that everybody would be in favor of. Replacing a game, perhaps two, with one regular season game. And if you did that, you would have an odd number of games with 17. So one thought is that you could play at least some of those games in a neutral site, and obviously internationally is one place that we could do it. So it would give the league more inventory to play more international games.
So what are you guys' thoughts on a possible 17-game schedule in the NFL?
To me, this is really obvious. Like, who's against this? So we get more regular season NFL. We get less preseason NFL. Like, this just makes too much sense. Now, most of the time, guys, when something is so simple and everybody agrees on it, for some reason, the NFL usually goes the opposite direction. We've got plenty of examples of that. But I have no problem with this. It seems really obvious. Take away the fourth preseason game and the third one. Only play two of them. And then you can also send a team overseas every single year and add another bye. Like, it seems pretty obvious to me this is the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very simple thing. You take away the two preseason games, you add in 2 weeks to the season, including one more game that's an international game for any given team, and then you add in a bye week. So the schedule in terms of the amount of weeks of the preseason plus regular season is the same that it's been forever. You get the extra bye week for teams so they get to be a little bit more healthy over the course of the regular season. And oh, by the way, with that London game, you can add in a new time slot where every single week, instead of starting the games at noon here in Kansas City, you get to start watching them at 9 o'clock. They get to sell more ads. They get more money. Everybody's happy about that, including the players who profit off of this as well. It's very simple. I think that's what we're going to see in the next CBA.
Yeah, that's a big enemy of all the partners out there that don't prefer football, where their spouse, their wife or their husband loves football, and they're going to be watching it for another 3 hours. I love it. I love another game. I love getting rid of another preseason part of the year. The preseason has become worthless, especially the final games. I remember earlier this preseason, I'm sitting there covering it for 8P and 610, and I am like, what am I even doing with my life? Growing the game, especially internationally, was part of what Lamar Hunt truly loved and wanted to do. So this is another part of the puzzle that I think fits in with the AFL and the Chiefs and expansion. And I love the idea. I love it. The more international, the better.
I know Clark talked about it today, so we have to spend a minute on it. But honestly, I could care less. To me, this is like steroids in baseball, the FBI in college basketball. Like, I get it. Some people want to talk about it. I'm not that guy. What's the next hit?
So for hit number two, Clark Hunt, the defense improvement gives him some optimism. Here's what he said earlier.
I mentioned at the beginning of the season that one of the most important narratives this year was the improvement of the defense and how that took place during the season. I personally didn't expect that we would start off with a finished product. And I've been very encouraged by what I've seen this past week, and notwithstanding, I do think the defense is improving. With Patrick back and now getting more of our offensive starters back, I think the offense can be at least as good as it was last year, if not better. And you put that together, and that gives you a chance to win a Super Bowl.
So the question is the defense improving with Pat Mahomes back?
Yeah, clearly the defense has improved this year compared to last year. If you're talking about just last week when Pat came back, something changed, and that something was they didn't blitz the quarterback as much as they had against Denver, Green Bay, and Minnesota. I'm not sure, guys, if that was a direct correlation with Pat coming back. I doubt that. That's quite a stretch to say that the quarterback affected the defense that directly. I will say this. I was kind of, he said, starting to trust this defense for what they did against Denver, but that was just Denver. Then the next week, especially the run defense, was pretty good against Aaron Jones, at least on the ground, and then they completely shut down Dalvin Cook. I'm the idiot that came on the radio on Friday and said if they can shut down Tennessee's running game, then I'll be sold. Well, they didn't do that. Tennessee averaged 9 yards a carry. Ryan Tannehill was trucking guys. BK's guy Juan Thornhill.
Stop that.
Derrick Henry went off like we all knew he was going to. The most frustrating thing about the run D is we know it's coming. We knew that they were going to hand off the ball to Derrick Henry time and time again. We knew Aaron Rodgers probably wasn't going to pass. They were going to run the ball, and the Chiefs still couldn't stop it. So to answer your question, Kramer, is the defense better? Yes. Are they a Super Bowl defense? Not as currently assembled.
See, here's the thing. Are they a Super Bowl defense? Not for most teams, but for the Kansas City Chiefs, they probably could. If this offense is what we all thought it was going to be coming into the year, all they got to be is average. This is what we said coming into the season, and I still believe it to be true today. Coming into the year, the only requirement was be like 20th best in the league. Yep. Last year, they were 31st. They were awful. This year, they are like 20th in the league. Don't look now, but that's pretty much what they've been. All this team needs to do is fix the little things. And just some of them, not all of them, be better with penalties or be better with turnovers and fumbling the ball or stop the run a little bit better than you have been. Or make sure when you're on the 1 yard line and the other team is getting ready to score, have 11 players on the football field. If you correct some of those things, not necessarily all of them, this is still a Super Bowl caliber team. And in part because of what Clark Hunt just said, the defense has technically gotten better.
I don't think that fans were jumping ship as far as fans of the Chiefs, but a lot of people jumped off, I would say, the 2019 ship this past game, calling for Andy Reid's job, so on and so forth. I'm with BK. I think the Chiefs defense is never going to be great. They're never going to be excellent, but they can be good enough if the offense is clicking and if the mistakes, especially on special teams, especially on defense, especially with some of your personnel and penalties on offense, if they can get that right, then all of a sudden the Super Bowl becomes real again. Give me a few wins here. I think the Chiefs will start feeling good about themselves, especially if they can go back-to-back with these AFC West wins, and then you're heading into New England, and let's see what happens.
My problem with the defense isn't necessarily the eye test or the numbers, because they are better by those quantifications. It's the culture is pretty much the same. Like, you're not as good at stopping the pass, or I should say you're better at stopping the pass, but you're worse at stopping the run. Eric Berry's not an issue.
At stopping the run this year,
Bob actually. Sutton's not an issue, but Frank Clark certainly is. Yeah. And I'm not sure if the jury's still not out on Spags. So I feel like they've shifted the issues, but by and large, the culture's pretty much the same as it was last year on that side of the ball.
One point on the defense, and again, it's been a thing on Chiefs Twitter where you talk about run defense and whether it matters or not. Opposing running backs, and I said it before, are dominating the Chiefs' defense. They're dominating them. The Chiefs are the worst in the NFL at guarding, opposing, defending against opposing running backs. They need to get better at that because everybody knows it right now.
Three. As hit number three is also a Clark Hunt one. It's the Clark Hunt hits for today. As he discussed the ongoing talks with Chris Jones on a contract extension.
There have been ongoing discussions with Chris's representatives. As I mentioned in the preseason, we're very hopeful that we can extend Chris's contract and bring him back to Kansas City for many years to come. He's obviously a fantastic player, great guy in the locker room, and we're glad to have him part of the Chiefs.
How soon does this deal need to be done, and how important is Chris Jones to this defense?
Oh, very important. He's the best player with a bullet. He's also the only John Dorsey player remaining, so take that for what you will. Early on this season, pretty much right after the Chiefs signed Frank Clark, I said this, CDOT said this, so I think a lot of people were probably thinking this. You basically chose Frank Clark over Chris Jones. You said, we'll take somebody else's goods opposed to ours. And it looks like right now that was a mistake. A lot of people thought that Chris Jones' 15.5 sack season last year, he couldn't repeat. And by the numbers, he's probably not going to. But by any other measure, Chris Jones is probably a better player than he was even a year ago. And I think he's the second best defensive tackle in the entire NFL, not named Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald signed around $150 million contract. So is he going to get that kind of money? No. Is he going to absolutely break the bank? Yes. Is that going to be here? I certainly hope so, BK. It's going to be a tough pill to swallow for the next few years. We have to watch Frank Clark in a Chiefs uniform and not Chris Jones, knowing that essentially the Chiefs chose Frank Clark over Chris Jones. Yeah, that's going to suck.
It's frustrating, but I think it's the correct answer. I think the Chiefs are going to have to bring back Chris Jones. And this is not me suggesting that I didn't want them to bring him back, but when you pay Frank Clark what they paid him, the goal should have been franchise Chris Jones and do exactly what the Seahawks did with Frank Clark. Get the picks back in return, be able to pick somebody else, maybe a corner, a receiver, whatever you want it to be in that first round. I don't think they're going to be able to do that now. They need Chris Jones. He should be the cornerstone. He should be the building block on that side of the ball. They thought it was going to be building on all three levels with Frank Clark and Anthony Hitchens and Tyrann Mathieu and adding in a corner this offseason. You have to add Chris Jones to that mix now. He needs to be a part of what they're building on that side of the ball.
Especially with this recent flexibility where you can play him inside and outside, and there are so many different things he can do. He's becoming not only one of the best players as on that side of the football in the NFL. I mean, he's right there with Aaron Donald. I mean, I think you would consider him as one of the most important defensive linemen in the NFL. And the Chiefs have dug their own grave here. They are now going to have to pay. Chris Jones, in a sense, got to bet on himself. And right now, he's winning in the biggest contract year of his life. I bet he gets franchise tag and the Chiefs try to work on a deal. It's going to be interesting because you're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes in the same time. And you did this to yourself.
Two guys that have gotten much more expensive as this season's rolled along. By not playing in a weird way, Eric Fisher. I think we're realizing how important he is, and he's going to break the bank. Absolutely the big fish. And Chris Jones, because Chris Jones gave the Chiefs a chance to pay him pennies on the dollar. He said, I'm the second best defensive tackle in football. I proved it last year. I'm going to, quote unquote, sit out for a little bit. It was the weirdest holdout of all time. And he basically dared the Chiefs. He said, pay me, and they didn't. Now they're going to have to pay him a lot more in the offseason. Obviously, they're going to have to pay a guy next year named Patrick Mahomes. Pat was great on Sunday versus Tennessee. And BK, I think that should probably ease people's nerves because I understand that I don't know what the hell is going on with LeSean McCoy in the running game. I personally think that Andy Reid had as much to do with that loss on Sunday against Tennessee as anybody. There have been injuries. Frank Clark's got this mysterious neck thing going on. The special teams looks bad. They're missing field goals, screwing up snaps. I get it. There's a lot of issues with this football team right now. They're 6-4. Everybody thought they'd be better at this point. All that being said, Pat looked like MV Pat. And to some extent, that's really all that matters. It gives you a chance. Once you get into the 3- or 4-game tournament that is the playoffs, he's the biggest and best weapon. And we went out there and we're saying before that game, I hope that Pat looks like Pat. You know, maybe throws for 250, has a couple of touchdowns. And all Pat did was throw for 440 yards. Probably should have been 500 yards if his receivers didn't let him down. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was running around outside the pocket. For all the bad things that are going on, Pat looks like Pat, and to some extent, that's all that matters.
And I think that's really important. I thought Ron the Show Hughley said something really interesting earlier this week. I want to play this for you, react to it on the other side. This is about Patrick Mahomes and his importance for the Chiefs.
And so I would ask those people, and people who may think, what else do the Chiefs do well? And I just say to you, well, what was your thinking in the first place? What did you think before the season? Why did a lot of national people before the season believe the Chiefs were right there alongside with the Patriots as Super Bowl contenders? I'm just posing the question because I don't see what has changed that much.
I think it's a really interesting point. Why did we think before the season? Like, remember back to August when we were having Pete in and he was talking about training camp and how excited we should be about this team and that we're going to go 16-0 and be a Super Bowl contender. Like,
damn it.
Remember back to all of these conversations that we had in August. Why did we believe that this was going to be a Super Bowl team? What was the formula for it? Because I think right now we're not seeing the trees through the forest. What was the formula? It was the offense is going to be amazing. Patrick Mahomes is going to play at an MVP level. The defense is going to take a step forward. They're going to be just about average this year. And that's the formula for this team to win a Super Bowl. Well, let's take a step back for a second and think about what the Chiefs are right now. The offense is amazing. They have an MVP-level quarterback who just threw for 450 yards on the road against the Titans. The defense has emerged as being merely average, which is all we ever asked for. The team is what we thought it was going to be. Now, the record does not reflect that. There's no way to deny that. It is so. But the team, in terms of tangible numbers, in terms of what we've watched so far this year, has essentially been a reflection of what we all wanted them to be at this point. So for as much as it's frustrating that they're 6-4 and they just went on the road and lost that infuriating game against the Titans, and the way that they've lost has been so similar this year with the running game for the opponents and the fumbles that they've had offensively, I understand all of that. I get your frustration, Chiefs fans. I really do. But if you remember back to what you were saying about this team before the season, I think they're more a reflection of that right now than maybe you would like to give them credit for.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes down to the little mistakes right now. So the defense is okay, and you're seeing mistakes with the special teams, which is uncharacteristic of your Chiefs team. There's been penalties, which has been a problem for years. I think run defense, you know, when you think about how the Chiefs are performing specifically to that, it's been a little bit more poor than average, and I think opposing teams know that and are tapping in. But there are certain areas where you can pinpoint and say, this is why the Chiefs are losing football games. Ultimately, I think you take all that if you know that you have Patrick Mahomes and this offense, and we saw him last game, and he's 90%, right? He's still not moving around 100%. He's probably still better than most quarterbacks in the NFL, which is incredible, and I think he's going to get better as the weeks go on with playing with this injury. We saw that with that earlier with the ankle. And so, yes, I think the Chiefs are still very much a Super Bowl team, because they are, and this is going to sound funny, they are what we thought they were. They're an average defense with Patrick Mahomes, and if the offense can just click and be close to perfect, which what we've seen in the past, then they're going to win most times.
I'm hearing lots of ifs and buts and could-bes, and that's good for horseshoes and hand grenades, but as far as going to the Super Bowl, not so much. The biggest surprise to me, and there are a lot of them, the run defense is worse than I thought they were going to be. The pass defense is significantly better. There have been individuals that have been better or worse than I expected. But, BK, the biggest surprise to me overall, I would say, is the Chiefs running back situation. That now we're here in week 11, and they haven't figured it out, and they've tried all these different guys, and they drafted a guy, and they traded for a guy, and they cut a guy, and Carlos Hyde. And now they told us that they wanted a veteran they could trust, so they signed LeSean McCoy, who's been really good, averaged 5.2 yards per carry, but he was in street clothes last week. And after he fumbled the week before, we didn't see him again. That, to me, has been the most head-scratching thing. I guess I just assumed, for a couple of reasons. One, you've got Patrick Mahomes, which should make the running back's job a whole lot easier. Two, last year and every year that Andy Reid's been a head coach in the NFL, whether it's Deuce Daly or Brian Westbrook or Kareem Hunt or Jamal Charles or Spencer Ware, whoever it is, those running backs have always had at least moderate success. And you look at the Chiefs right now, and they're one of the worst running teams in the NFL. So I don't know if I thought individuals were necessarily going to be better. I just didn't think that the running game would be as much of a train wreck as it is right now.
I get that.
And a lot of that's Kareem Hunt. Like, we pretended like, and I remember CDOT was the leader of this, saying, well, Kareem Hunt was tapering off, and maybe he wasn't as good as we made him out to be, and Damian Williams can make up for that loss. Maybe for a couple of weeks, which he did at the end of last year, maybe we also got a little bit excited about a guy that played 4 years in Miami and had less than 150 carries, and then the Chiefs paid him and made him the feature back. Like, I'm surprised the running back situation has become this dirty.
I understand that completely, but I just... the running game is not something that I'm all that concerned about, to be honest with you. Like, I haven't been all year. I continue to not be right now. My concern with the offense is what they're doing in the red zone. And this is something that has been a recurring issue all year. And it's not because of the running backs. It's because of the entirety of the offense. Did you guys know right now the Chiefs are 25th in terms of touchdowns scored per red zone opportunity?
Sounds right. I remember them kicking a bunch of field goals.
Do you know that right now in the NFL, in terms of drives that end in a field goal, the Chiefs are number one in all of football?
Again, yeah, kind of. I remember them.
You want to know how they fix these things? They stop kicking field goals and they start scoring touchdowns. Like, it's a very simplistic way to look at things, but it's the truth. The Chiefs last year were one of the best red zone offenses in all of football. They were ending drives with touchdowns and stopping ending those drives in the field goals. The Chiefs, in terms of what needs to change, Sean, it is less for me the running thing, the running back situation, and more the Andy Reid thing and the Andy Reid situation. Andy Reid needs to accept what this team is. It is an offensive style team. It is a run and gun, shoot 'em out style team. You are the former Baylor of the NFL. And now you got to accept that and build your game plan around it. If it's 4th and 2, go for it. If it's 4th and manageable inside of the other 40, you're going for it. Stop settling for field goals. Start going for the touchdown. Start going for the throat of your opponent. That's how this thing gets corrected. And that can be with the running game. That can be with the passing game. I would prefer the passing game, but that's what my biggest issue is right now with the team.
I have a point on both of these things. First of all, the Kareem Hunt thing. Last week, the Cleveland Browns played at the same time as the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Kareem Hunt ended up having 9 targets. Tomorrow night, they play on national TV. If there's ever going to be a time for Chiefs fans to get mad about this thing, it's going to be when Kareem Hunt has a better game than last week on national TV. When the Chiefs aren't playing, there's really nothing else to watch. You're going to be watching this Browns-Steelers game tomorrow night. Interesting to see how Chiefs fans react to that. I don't think this Kareem Hunt thing is over, because if he starts playing like he did in Kansas City, this is going to be another thing we bring up, because the Chiefs' run game hasn't been great. And I think that's why they ended up benching LeSean McCoy, because they weren't seeing the energy that they wanted out of somebody they brought on board and again, had named Damien Williams the starter and said, you know, we think we're better off with LeSean McCoy. I think you see McCoy with a little bit more fire on Monday night, and you see that run game. And then to BK's point, when it goes to going for it on fourth down early in the game against the Tennessee Titans, the Chiefs had 4th and 2, and you know what, they were on the Tennessee 12, and at that point, listen to me, you have Patrick Mahomes, you feel good about it, the team is playing well right at the gate, go ahead and set the tone and say it doesn't matter if it's fourth down, we have this offense we believe in, Patrick Mahomes is back, take a 14-0 lead instead of a 10-0 lead, and maybe this entire day goes differently.
You sure you guys don't want to give out your piece of blame pie to Andy? You sure? You can rethink it.
I have 100% of pie.
For as aggressive as Andy is, man, it's the one thing that's infuriating is he's super conservative on fourth down.
I got a couple other things. Clock management, end of game, but I hear what you're saying.
Sure, but like he's always been really conservative on fourth down, and it can't go with this team. Like, your defense is not good. They're better. They're average. They're slightly below average. They're terrible in the run game. I understand that. I've been on that soapbox all year. But if this is what your defense is, and you have this rocket ship of a quarterback in this offense that's supposed to carry you, and we all said coming into the year, the reason why they're a Super Bowl contender is because they have one of the best offenses we've ever seen, trust them to get you 2 yards.
If we're airing Andy Reid grievances, my complaint as a media member would be that he doesn't distribute blame pie.
It would be nice
if he distributed a little blame pie. But no, I agree with BK. The Chiefs are in a place where you shouldn't put it into defense's hands. They may be average, but stop putting it in the defense's hands. You have this historic offense. Use it.
If you weren't with us earlier, we handed out blame pie. I gave my biggest piece to Brett Veach. You could certainly give it to Andy Reid. BK gave his to Cam Irving. Pete gave his to Frank Clark's neck. Hit us up at 69306 on the Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line. I know that there's not just one guy to point to for the reason the Chiefs are in the situation they're in, but what the hell, sports radio, it's fun to do, so let's do it. Who are you going to point the finger at? Who's most to shoulder the blame? So we're talking about the defense, BK, and the one thing that I know you don't stand for and fans shouldn't stand for and Andy Reid shouldn't stand for is lack of effort. It's one thing if you're injured. It's one thing if you're hurt. It's one thing if you're undermanned or undersized or whatever. But there were a couple of plays in that Tennessee game that a lot of people have pointed out, and you won't stop talking about, that we should question the Chiefs' effort.
Okay, so you guys saw the play, right?
Many a time. You showed it to me 72 times, yes.
That seems low. I think we're up to 77. So Ryan Tannehill, it's a 3rd and 12. He's on his own 30-yard line. He's got to get to the 42. It was a 32-yard line, and then he's got to get to the 44. That's what it was. So Rashad Fenton's there, and they've got Tyrann Mathieu there, and they've got Frank Clark there, and Rashad Fenton is getting ready to tackle Ryan Tannehill. He's at the 39-yard line. He's got to get to the 44, and that's where he makes first contact. There's still 5 yards to get to the first down marker. Well, none of his buddies, who are defenders, who are supposed to gang tackle, that's what we talked about all during training camp whenever we were out there in St. Joe together, Pete, they didn't help him.
No.
Rashad Fenton gets run over by Ryan Tannehill. He carries him for 5 more yards. He picks up the first down on 3rd and 12 or whatever it was in a critical situation, and Tyrann Mathieu moved out of the way. Frank Clark never touched Ryan Tannehill. That's symbolic of the issues that I've seen with this team. It's a mentality thing, man. Defensively, it's a mentality thing. It is they are not going to run on us anymore. Just like, remember the Titans, right? Don't let them get another yard.
Right.
That's what the Chiefs defense has to come up with at some point. Like, Frank Clark has talked so many different times about you got to let your knucks hang a little bit. Well, then let's see it, man. Let's see it from this defense. We haven't seen it really outside of a 2-game sample size against the Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos. Where was that on Sunday against the Titans in a spot where they had to have it? That's one of the biggest issues that I had on Sunday.
And the thing is, you have this contest upcoming. If you watched that national game last week between the Raiders and the Chargers, and Melvin Gordon finally tapped back into that old version of Melvin Gordon where he was pounding the football. Like, that is going to be a problem based upon what you saw last week for the Chiefs. 22 carries, 108 yards against the Raiders. Josh Jacobs on the other side was pounding it. These are teams that you're going to have to beat down the stretch here that love to pound the rock. And you just played a guy in Derrick Henry who had a 100-yard game, and he ran for 188 yards. I understand numbers don't say anything, but that is a huge problem the Chiefs need to address. And if they can't stop the opposing running back and set that tone early, what are the teams going to do? Run over your ass. So they got to address it right away.
And they're basically telling you that that's what they're going to do. Like, we know, and the Chiefs know, that the plan is they're going to hand the ball off to the running back like they did the entire fourth quarter to Derrick Henry, like they did the entire last drive against the Packers. They could tell you, literally, Pete, we are going to hand the ball off. We are going to hit this particular gap. And the Chiefs still can't stop it. That's how bad this run defense is. But it's not all bad. Pat was really good. I think the number one seed talk is officially dead. Is the number two talk? We visit that conversation, and we step back inside the mind of the machine on The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
So, anxiety is a very real thing, right? And it's certainly not a laughing matter unless it's your buddy Pete Sweeney and you can literally see the moment the anxiety sets in. And we were during a commercial break and Pete was like, oh man, I hope they don't lose the Chargers. It's going to be a crappy 13 days. And I've been trying to tell you, Pete. Now, I'm not suggesting the Chiefs are going to lose. Oh, I'm just trying to brace people that if they do lose on Monday night, and there's some variables that I don't think enough people are thinking of. Like, the Chiefs are better coached. The Chiefs have the better quarterback. The Chiefs have the better record. The Chiefs are really good versus the division. The Chiefs are the better team, and I think they're going to win the game. Let me get that out there. That being said, the game is in Mexico City, which is always a crapshoot, both the field and the altitude. It's a division game, which Andy dominates, but that means the Chargers have gotten a chance to see Patrick Mahomes already a couple of times, and we always look at it from our perspective, right? It's only human nature. How does this affect my team? How does this affect myself? So that's what we've been doing, talking about the Chiefs. If you look at it from the Chargers' point of view, if they win that game, they're 5-6. You're 6-5. They've got the tiebreaker, and they know they get a chance to play you later on in the season. They control their own destiny. So right now, if you ask me on a level of 1 to 10, what's my level of concern, 1 being nothing, 10 being the worst, I'd probably say it's at around a 6, Pete. If they lose the Chargers, it jets up to an 8.5.
Have you guys heard this news where L.A. is moving their entire team to Colorado to practice in elevation?
Yeah. Air Force.
Not that I think the Chiefs need to be doing that, but there's something about it that makes me think, oh, man, if Estadio Azteca is about 7,300 feet, like, that is... that's extreme. And I just wonder if a week or a few practices with the Chargers in that element will make them come out of the gate really hot, because the Chiefs, as you guys know, have not been fresh in the first quarter for a lot of these games.
And even if you don't believe any of those variables that I just threw out there, that's fine. BK, you were making the point earlier that every time the Chiefs go out there, the Chiefs, kind of like the Patriots for past years, have become their opponent's Super Bowl. And that's what we saw against Tennessee. And after beating the Chiefs, that made the Titans season. Same thing with the Chargers. Yep. Like, that's how every game has been. If the Chargers win this game, this is their Super Bowl, and they're still alive.
Yeah, you can see how seriously they're taking it. Like, they don't do this if it's just some random game against the, I don't know, pick up random team.
Cincinnati
X,
Bengals?
Jets. Yeah, the Bengals, right? Like, they probably don't take it as seriously if it's one of those teams, just like the Chiefs for whatever reason last year didn't, or last week didn't take the Titans very seriously.
I haven't seen the urgency from the Chiefs since.
We saw it against Minnesota. Minnesota, we saw the urgency.
It's been fleeting. Like, it was there the first 4 weeks. It was there the entire season last year. It was there against Minnesota, but it's not there every single week. That's
absolutely
for sure.
No, and that's the issue for them, and that's one of the things that's been a problem for them against a lot of these teams is, like you said, these opponents are taking the games against the Chiefs very seriously. They're treating it as their Super Bowl, and the Chiefs are not treating them that way. They're treating them as the next on their path to the Super Bowl.
Or at least to the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, and so the difference in that mindset, the difference in that preparation, the difference in how seriously you're taking that individual play or game is one of the things that I'm going to be really interested on Monday night, is they've got to take this one seriously. Now, in the words of Sean Levine, every game basically has the feel of a must win, and it starts on Monday night against the Chargers. They're taking it seriously by going out to Colorado Springs and practicing in elevation all week. How seriously are the Chiefs taking it?
There's this feeling, I think, in Nashville, right, where I felt like the Chiefs were saying to themselves, whoa, look at all the red. Man, this is like a home game. Pat Mahomes is back, dude. I don't know why I'm sounding like I'm from California, but this is going to be easy.
Keep it going,
breezy.
Bro.
And all of a sudden, they were punched in the mouth, yep. And they didn't know what to do. You can't play like that. I understand you have the MVP of the National Football League, but at a certain point, you got to say to yourself, well, we got to play for ourselves, too, especially in the defensive side of the football. Why did the defense step up and hold Dalvin Cook to 71 yards, and then the next week you don't show up at all against Derrick Henry? How does that happen? It can't happen this week.
No, back-to-back weeks, I would say, against Minnesota, you could argue that was their best defensive performance of the season, stopping Kirk Cousins, completely shutting down Dalvin Cook. Then the next week, at the end of the game, you let Ryan frickin' Tannehill come down the field and beat you, and Derrick Henry ended up going off in the fourth quarter. There's going to be some clear separation this Sunday, not just with the Chiefs game, I should say this weekend, not just with the Chiefs game coming up on Monday. If they win that game, then they build themselves, albeit a small cushion, but a little bit of a cushion. Philly takes on New England, and Baltimore takes on Houston, guys. I think if Philly beats New England, we have to have the conversation that maybe New England is not as great as they have always been, and maybe the fact that they got fat on these teams early on that are terrible really is who the real New England Patriots are. And BK, if Baltimore beats Houston, then I think we have to say Baltimore is clearly the best team in the AFC. That would be back-to-back wins against Houston and New England. Not too shabby.
Yeah, but we know that the Chiefs can beat the Ravens.
Absolutely.
We've seen that twice over the last 2 years, and so I'm less interested in that game because I'm fairly confident the Chiefs can beat either of those two teams. I'm more interested in the Patriots game because the schedule is about to get really difficult for the Pats. They've got the Eagles on the road this week, and we know the Eagles are talented. They just haven't been able, for whatever reason, to put it together for much of the season.
They're the Chiefs. They can beat anybody. They can lose to anybody.
Absolutely. And then they've got the Cowboys, another talented team, similar to the Chiefs, who can beat or lose to anybody on the road at the Texans. And then they've got the Chiefs the following week. And so these next 4 weeks for the Patriots, I think, are going to tell us everything we need to know about how good they actually are. If they take care of business in all four games, the Patriots are every bit as good as everybody's been telling me all year, and they will be the favorite, and they should be the favorite going into the postseason. But if they go 2-2, 1-3, something like that in this stretch, I think there will be real and legitimate questions to ask about the strength of the Patriots and if this is more of a paper tiger than we've made them out to be.
And it's all what happens recently, right? So right now, after losing to the Tennessee Titans, you're so down on the Kansas City Chiefs. If they come out on Monday Night Football, take care of business, you have a week off, you start feeling better about yourself. The Raiders come and you have a good game against them, you win that game. All of a sudden you say, okay, we can go into Foxborough and beat the New England Patriots now. If you lose that game, that's where you start to worry and say, man, is this just a wasted year of Patrick Mahomes?
And
are
by
we
the
wasting
way,
Patrick
got,
Mahomes' rookie contract?
You got 13 days to think about it if you lose that game.
Exactly.
Kind of like after the Minnesota game, I said the sun had come back out, the Patriots had lost, the Chiefs were getting their quarterback back, they were taking on the Tennessee Titans, like you just mentioned, Pete. It was all gravy, baby. And then you lose that game to the Titans, and it's like, whoa, all of a sudden. Last year, the difference was between last year and this year, when you just look at the losses, right? There's no shame in losing to Russell Wilson on the road. That guy's going to the Hall of Fame. The Seahawks are great. There's no shame when you put up 40 points and go on the road at Gillette and lose to Tom Brady. He's the best quarterback of all time. Or Phillip Rivers or any of these quarterbacks, Jared Goff, last year that beat the Chiefs. This year, they've lost to Ryan Tannehill and they've lost to Jacoby Brissett. So whatever aura, BK, they had, whatever they put fear into teams last year, and frankly, for the first four games of this season, has gone away. Can they get that back?
I don't know that I agree that fear has gone away.
Really?
No, I don't. Like, do you think the Titans came into that game saying we're not afraid of the Chiefs' offense?
Not only do I think that they weren't afraid of them and they showed that, I think the Chargers genuinely believe they're going to win this football game coming up on Monday Night Football. Like, they're not scared of the Chiefs at all.
I don't agree.
And Oakland the week after that, after the bye, they think they're going to beat the Chiefs too.
Are we talking about the Chiefs or are we talking about their offense? Because if we're talking about their offense, I think that every team is still afraid of the Chiefs' offense, and they should be afraid of the Chiefs' offense if Patrick Mahomes is healthy. I know we talk about the injuries a lot, but we can't just sit here and talk about the Chiefs or judge and evaluate the Chiefs' offense
without bringing up the fact that Patrick Mahomes has not been healthy since week one, man. Like, as much as we want to pretend like that didn't happen and have that men in black flashy thing go across our eyes and pretend like Mahomes has been fine, it's not just the knee injury that made him miss the 2.5 weeks. It's also the fact that he's been re-aggravating a high ankle sprain since the first week of the regular season.
But he was back against Tennessee, and he threw for 440 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. So at what point do we at least not talk about the injuries quite as much? I hear what you're saying. If you want to point to one thing, why the Chiefs are in the position that they're in, 6-4 instead of 8-2 or 10-0 or whatever, I'm with you guys. And it's clear the injuries.
Yeah, it's
injuries. But to finish my point, like, the Chiefs offense scored 32 points despite settling for 6 field goals in that game. Like, this is why I'm saying that I think that people should still be afraid of the Chiefs offense. They settled for field goals, scored 32 points, didn't play their best games, and Mahomes threw for 450. Yeah, I'd say you should be afraid of that
offense. I don't think the teams are as afraid of this offense as they were last year's offense, and I also think that football is not just offense, it's defense and special teams. And if we're talking about the complete Kansas City Chiefs right now, no, I don't think anybody's afraid of them.
There's no doubt, I think, that teams realize now, and I don't know how you couldn't, the Chiefs are beatable. But I can see where, okay, when Patrick Mahomes takes the field and you're looking at Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce, there is a little bit of a fear. When it comes to in-division teams, the Oakland Raiders right now, looking at their situation, they got to be feeling themselves. They got an easy schedule. They got an opportunity against the Chiefs. I think it's a little bit different for the Chargers. For the Chargers, it's do or die. For the Raiders, it's like, okay, let's just take care of business here. We're a better team than most of the teams we're going to play here on out. The Chargers are a little bit more up against the wall.
Right now, the line is 4 in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see if it adjusts before Monday. But right now, let's step inside the mind of the machine.
I think the Chiefs win this one by 14.
Don't say it under your breath. Say it loud and proud.
I have not wavered from my belief in this team at any point this year.
I have had an historically bad year for picks. Historically bad picking the Chiefs. I've never picked the Chiefs this bad than this year.
I think you're a little too down. I think you're a little too confident. I'm firmly somewhere in between these two dudes, which is a very comfortable place to be.
I don't think Pete is down on this team. Are you?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm down on myself picking Chiefs games.
Yeah,
I have picked them wrong. Like,
we all did.
You still do that
the whole time. The whole city did. Like, everybody listening is guilty of that.
Where would you rank them among Super Bowl contenders? And I apologize. We'll get into the mind of the machine here in a minute.
You're definitely still in the top 10, right? Top. You could even say top
in the AFC. Sorry.
Ravens, Patriots, Texans, and then probably.
I would take them over the Texans. I feel a little bit better right now, of course, about the Patriots and the way Lamar Jackson's playing. Probably 3 in the AFC. Probably 3.
I still have them too.
Can we go up in the cranium now?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Let's talk Mizzou, BK, for a second, I guess. The Tigers lost a close one in hoops last night in overtime to number 21, Xavier. Your thoughts on last night's game?
It was an encouraging loss, if there is such a thing. The Mizzou as a program right now is in a place where this is the second year of the rebuild. Like, year one of Konzo Martin was not actually part of the rebuild. That was a mirage. That was fake. That was Michael Porter Jr. It was Cassius Robertson. It was Jontay Porter. They threw it all into a blender and figured out what it was going to be in the end.
It's like them getting fire on, like, a deserted beach.
Exactly. It was a microwave oven meal. Like, it was great. It was exciting
at
the time.
Nothing wrong with the hungry man, BK.
It's perfectly fine. It does the job. But then the next meal, you're probably going to want to actually make something that is sustainable. And that's what the Mizzou Tigers are trying to do right now. Last year, they started it. This year, they're continuing it. If you look at what they did last night, it was a sophomore, sophomore, freshman, sophomore, junior, 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 freshman that got all their minutes. This is the start of the build. They went on the road against the top 25 team, had every opportunity to win, ultimately came short. But that was an optimistic loss for me.
The Salisbury Steak Hungry Man is actually not that bad. It's not great. Like, I wouldn't eat it every single night, but it's not terrible. It got me through college. Pete, what was the bigger offseason acquisition, Minka Fitzpatrick or Marcus Peters?
Right now, Minka Fitzpatrick is playing as good as any defensive player in the NFL.
Right?
So I have to say Minka, but Marcus Peters looks like he does whenever he gets to a new team at first. He plays really well, and then you wait for the implosion. And so I continue to think Minka Fitzpatrick is the guy because he's young enough. What is he, 24 yeah. years old? 24 years old, and I still don't get the trade because – don't forget, when you trade for a first-round pick, you have to hit on that first-round pick. You'd already hit, and you let that go. I cannot believe that they made that move.
I would still say the Minka Fitzpatrick trade. Minka Fitzpatrick looks better, but damn, man.
Marcus Peters looks like the guy that I remembered here in Kansas City.
He looks
right
like
now.
The defensive rookie of the year from the Chiefs. He does.
He's taken back 3 interceptions to the crib.
And last
this
weekend's
year.
Was a. Did you guys watch the highlight of it? It was classic Marcus Peters. He baited the quarterback into the throw. You knew exactly what was coming, and he did it.
That's when Peters is at his best, when you disrespect him and he's angry about it. I wish there were a way to tap into that every single game of his career, but it only seems like when you've disrespected him, he plays his best.
Speaking of highlights, there were a couple in the last couple of weeks. Deshaun Watson had that one where he scrambled around a couple of weeks ago and then found his receiver in the back of the end zone. I'm sure you saw Lamar Jackson scrambling and spinning and scoring. It was absolutely incredible. Not which play was better, but which player is better. If you're starting a franchise, I asked the guys this yesterday, curious your thoughts. Pat's number one. Is Deshaun or Lamar number two?
That is a tough question. Put on me, I think I'd go Deshaun, and only because his style of play seems a little bit more sustainable. You'd think at some point here, and I understand Lamar is really fast, but he's going to get clocked. And if he does, you start to worry about him over the years and so on and so forth. I think Deshaun is a little bit smarter when he uses his legs, similar to Pat in that sense. So I'd go Deshaun, but by a hair. I really like Lamar Jackson.
Think about all the doors Lamar Jackson's opened up for the college football player that plays that way. Like, every single conference has 3 or 4 quarterbacks that are dual threat that run as well as they pass. And with Lamar Jackson, and obviously not everybody's as successful or as athletic or talented as Lamar Jackson, but I think it's going to give people opportunities.
You think so? I think he's the outlier. I think Lamar is so special as a runner that him being able to do this is only because of how special he is.
Like, I think he's the best runner in the league.
He might be the best running quarterback we've ever seen.
He's the best. He's the best wide receiver at the quarterback
position. So if you want to, like, if you're at that level, yeah, you can translate like Lamar Jackson. I've just never seen anybody at this level before, so I don't know how many doors it actually opens.
I feel like you guys had fun with what I just said. I've been completely serious. I think Lamar Jackson is the best runner, period, in the entire NFL.
I don't think it's a crazy thing to say. Like, he's probably, what, 6th or 7th in the league in rushing right now?
And he's a quarterback.
Yeah, he's amazing.
There's guys that are called running backs.
Tyreek Hill can run, man.
That's fair. The new college football playoff poll is out. Your top 4, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia. Alabama is number 5. There could be some serious shakeup, BK. If Georgia beats LSU in the SEC championship game, then is Alabama back in the conversation?
I think so. I think we're going to end up getting another 2 SEC team college football playoff. I know nobody wants to see it, but I think that's going to happen. I think we're getting 2 SEC teams, some combination. And then we will have Ohio State, and in my opinion, Clemson will be the 4th. I think it's going to be basically a redo of every other year that we've seen the college football playoff, and that's kind of how we go forward.
Big 12's done, right?
Like, yes.
Okay. Yeah, Big 12 is done. Alabama finds a way in. I just think that's the bottom line. It's by committee. Alabama's going to be in this tournament.
Guys, Matt Damon turned down a 10% stake in profits from the movie Avatar that would have netted him $250 million. A little bit of a mistake there. Do you guys have a favorite Matt Damon flick? Give me Good Will Hunting. I think Good Will Hunting is the best movie ever made. Matt Damon, any genre, any movie, any time.
I like The Bourne Supremacy, but an underrated one that maybe people haven't seen, The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Great movie.
Really? What a classic film, and it is creepy as all hell. Watch it before the Christmas season really kicks in. I know for some of you that has already.
Matt Damon has a tremendous IMDb page.
Rounders.
Like, Rounders is great. He had an awesome few-year run with Good Will Hunting, Saving Private Ryan, and then Rounders right after that. He's had a few different eras of his career as well, which is always interesting because the Bourne trilogy that he did, he's been in the Oceans trilogy, he did The Departed. Like, he's had some really, really impressive catalogs.
Quick note for the Love Machine. Mm-hmm. I had a friend one time tell me that Good Will Hunting is the best movie to watch with a date. Because if you start necking, everyone's already seen it. So you could just continue on watching the movie.
That is true. And the best song, if you're curious, is Crush by the Dave Matthews Band. So that's feel right. free to use that going forward. Guys, today, I don't know if you knew this, is National Cardigan Day. What's the most embarrassing thing right now, BK, Pete Sweeney, in the back of your closet? I've got a couple of, you guys probably never even heard of these. You ever heard of a Hypercolor shirt?
What is that?
It's a shirt. Yeah, it's like a thing from the late 80s, early 90s. It's a shirt that changed colors when you touch it or breathe on it. I've still got one of those. And then the Big Dogs t-shirts. You guys remember those? Like, if you can't run with the Big Dogs, get off the deck.
Yes.
You got a couple of those.
Yes, I have a few of them.
You're damn right, Crame Dog. You got anything embarrassing in your old
closet? I would say the biggest thing is just like a sweater. Like the sweater with the actual collar
thing that goes down it. That's probably.
I'm wearing one of
anything.
Those right now. There's nothing problem with one of those.
When I was going to Syracuse, I found this Syracuse basketball warm-up that's crusty. I mean, it is
gross.
Embarrassing, but I'll wear it. It's I think it's from like the 1980s or something.
You nasty pun. I don't care.
I washed it. I washed that thing.
Kramer, great job on the buttons, brother. We'll do it again tomorrow. That's Kramer on the controls. Pete Sweeney sitting in for 3 hours, dude. More than we could ask for.
Back at Arrowhead tomorrow. It's game week on Monday.
BK, you know how much I care for you. I will see you in the same seat tomorrow.
Solid
I'm
one
sports
out of 10.
Machine Sean Levine. Thank you to Rich Gannon. If you want a good Twitter follow, follow me at Sean Levine KC. Signing off on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.